So you're the chump in the middle that actually paid off your student loans. Hello. Welcome to the club. Get ready, America, because in this brave new world, not paying your bills is apparently the way to go. Hello, welcome to the Trish Intel Show. I'm Trish Regan. This is fundamentally the root of the problem here with this whole leftist economic thought. Do me a favor. If you haven't downloaded this podcast, make sure you download and you subscribe and you go to trishintel.com where you can sign up for my emails and you can actually get the truth. Imagine that, the truth in this world. Because the reality is we are living in an hourglass economy. You got plenty of establishment types all up there on the top. You got plenty of people down there on the bottom that are collecting the benefits. But what happens to everybody that's stuck in the middle? The middle class, right? The people that are paying their bills, the people that are saving for their kids' education, the people that are saving for retirement. The middle class is the one that keeps getting squeezed. And this move from the left, whether it be Elizabeth Warren or Chuck Schumer or Bernie Sanders, all looking to wipe out $50,000 worth of student debt, this is why Americans feel so betrayed by those in power. Look, if we really get down to it, this Democrat proposal, it's not even going to help the people that they supposedly want to help, right? Because if you've got $50,000 worth of student debt and they're just going to forgive it, chances are you're somebody who has a higher education. Therefore, you are that much more affluent because you're earning that much more money. Meanwhile, what is this sending as a signal to everybody else? And what is it sending as a signal to all the colleges in America that want to charge whatever they can? Because believe me, there is a reason for this much inflation in college tuition. And it has nothing to do with actual fundamentals and everything to do with our government. The government has effectively become like a Federal Reserve for college tuition, right? If you can borrow that much and keep on borrowing, then why not? You think some 18-year-old kid has any understanding or sense of what they're getting into when they take on this debt? No, maybe their parents do. They're middle-class parents who save their money to try and make sure their kids can have an education to begin with. They're the ones that wind up losing out, right? Because they actually tried to do things the right way. God forbid you actually try and do things the right way. This is what's so messed up about the system. Frankly, this is what's messed up about socialism, because it encourages freeloaders, right? To get to an economic term. It doesn't work, guys. It just doesn't work. And you know what? I don't love that so many young kids are saddled with all this debt. I don't love that parents are saving their money or taking out second mortgages on their home to pay for their children's education. It's not right. We ought to have some market discipline that goes into the field of education so that you don't see astronomical inflation in tuition costs. But that requires the government to get out of the business, okay? And then everybody to take a deep, hard look at whether or not education is really and truly worth it. I mean, I think about my own education. You know what? I paid my own way through. I went to Columbia. I took out loans. And I was fortunate enough that I got a job out of school that I could pay back those loans, okay? But those were like big, big deal loans to pay every month. And I paid them back. And I question, again, the free rider syndrome in all of this. Because what does it mean for all those parents and all those kids that actually worked hard to pay off this debt? Meanwhile, what does it signal to the colleges? Well, we can up tuition again, another $50,000 for 4 years, right? Because the government will pay it. And we cannot live in a world where we expect the government to be paying for everything. It just doesn't work. This is a bad place for us to be. This creep of socialism, I'm telling you, it's very real. Coming up, President Joe Biden doubling down on the whole dark winter thing while letting us know that leading economists across the ocean, they approve of his plan. Like just what we wanted, right? Hey, buddy, you're working for us, Joe, not them. Quick reminder, I'm on the story next. Okay, it was not a great jobs report, right? Like not good. But nonetheless, we added jobs. So if I'm the president of the United States, I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to focus on the glass half full because you know what? I need to actually lead my country. It's like a manager in a business. Do you sit there and harp on the negativity? No, you say, okay, this is what we're doing. Maybe this is what we're not doing so great, but this is what we're doing well. And we're really going to focus on what we're doing well. And any improvement is some improvement. And yet we got Joe Biden out there. I mean, it's like Debbie Downer. It's Barack Obama all over again. I sat there for 8 years. It drove me nuts, right? Because I was covering the economy, business reporter. And I'm sitting there going, wait, but we just added 300,000 jobs. Like, isn't that a good thing? And Barack Obama, President Obama would get out there and be like, well, you know, we can do better, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, come on. Like at some point, you got to actually praise what we are doing well because Americans want to believe in the future. You know, don't make me get into the whole Annie story. You can go back a few podcasts ago and listen to that. The whole sun will come out tomorrow. FDR. That was one of his, you know, I'm not a huge FDR fan, by the way, in terms of the economic policy, but I do believe in what he sold effectively as optimism. We need that optimism. Americans need to believe in something. They need to know that you are going to chart us forward to a better place. And so if you get a little bit of good news, celebrate it. Gosh darn it. Celebrate that you actually added jobs instead of subtracting them in the last month. Anyway, he didn't. He doubled down on the dark winter, maybe because he just wants to make sure that he gets all his stimulus, whatever. And he did say this, I'm going to quote, my plan creates more jobs, creates more economic growth, and does more to make us competitive with the rest of the world than any other plan. Don't take my word for it. Just look at what leading economists across the nation have said, and in the world, and across the ocean have said. Seriously? You want us to trust what economists are saying across the ocean? Come on. President Biden. Joe. Come on. Remember, you're working for us, not for them, okay? I don't care what the economists say across the ocean. I care about results here at home. Why do we care what economists overseas think? The reality is we need to focus on ourselves. Ourselves, America right now, the American economy. Forget about all those lobbyists that are working for the global international companies that want you to do this, that, and the other. Forget about the global economists that want you to do this, that, and the other. Remember the American people. That middle class that keeps getting deprived of opportunity. That's who you're supposed to stick up for. You know, I'm just amazed by this. Again, I'll point out that he needs to be less negative. That's my advice, by the way, like free advice, okay? If I were in politics, if I were actually advising the president of the United States right now, I'd say, you know what? You got a little bit of good news here. I would go with it. I would go with it because people want to believe in you. They want to believe in this country. They want to believe in the future. But the way you talk, there's nothing to believe in. All right, coming up, Christopher Plummer. If you're a Sound of Music fan, you know what I'm talking about. Christopher Plummer just passed away. I wanted to share some thoughts on him and his legacy and the Sound of Music next. News this weekend that Christopher Plummer, 91 years old, just passed away. He suffered from a head injury after falling at his home in Connecticut. I gotta say, he symbolized so much to me as a little kid. I gotta say, my very first role that I ever auditioned for was actually in The Sound of Music. I was about 8 years old. And somehow, I don't know how, I found out that there were, because this was all for me. This was like nothing to do with my parents. They were like, who is this kid? It was all for me. I found out that there were auditions for The Sound of Music in a town about an hour away from where we lived. And so I got my parents to drive me down. I auditioned. I had memorized the entire Do Re Mi song. I got in there. I sang it. You know, I was probably only eligible for like one, two, maybe three spots, given that, you know, I was only 8 years old and there's only seven Von Trapp children. Anyway, I didn't get a role, but it did not deter me. I went back home and I said to my parents, I need to audition for the next play, which was The Christmas Carol, A Christmas Carol. And I did. And I got a role in the chorus and they said, it's just the chorus and it's an hour away. And I said, Mom, Dad, you got to start somewhere. Anyway, so I consider my start really with that first audition as a little kid for The Sound of Music. And I used to watch that movie with Christopher Plummer and Julie Andrews, and I loved it. And there was something really magical and really special about it. And it's something that actually I continue to watch every Thanksgiving, like a family tradition. And I credit both both of those actors with sort of helping to establish my interest in music very early on, and perhaps my interest in theater. I went on to study opera, classical singing, and took it very seriously, went to a conservatory, actually wanted to pursue that as an initial career, and wound up in my early 20s giving the whole thing up, because apparently what you want when you're 14 years old is not the same thing as you want when you're, you know, 20 something years old. But nonetheless, The Sound of Music had a profound impact. And I think it's had a big impact on a lot of Americans, because it sort of speaks to what America stands for. And you think about the hardship that that family went through. Don't forget, they wound up relocating. The Von Trapps relocated to America, right? They settled down in Vermont. They started an inn. With the money that they had saved from singing in Vermont, they built that up. Now the family has a brewery there. It really is a tremendous, I think, testament to what this country can be and the perseverance of the people that have come here. That family is a wonderful example of America. And I think that that movie is such a tremendous opportunity for people to learn and to be excited with music and all of that too. I mean, as I certainly was. But it's a tremendous film. And you know what? Apparently he as an actor was never that psyched about it and felt like it was sort of one-dimensional in terms of his character, et cetera. But years later, he came to say, you know what? It really was great. And I'm just going to say it was great. And I know he played a lot of different roles, but he will be remembered for that. He did an extraordinary job at that role. And that movie had such a tremendous impact, I think, on so many young people and so many people today, because I think we all still have a certain nostalgia when we watch The Sound of Music, and we'll all remember Christopher Plummer. May he rest in peace. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Do not forget, go to trishintel.com, sign up for my website, sign up for my newsletter, and make sure you download and subscribe to this podcast. I'll see you right back here tomorrow.